It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. It's March the 16th. May God be with you. We are going to actually have our opening prayer at this time. I just thought I saw a message I needed to one of our listeners. And, let me see. All right, praise God. All right, friends, God is good. And we want to begin with prayer at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We ask that you would bless our services, that you anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and help us to continue to grow in grace and wisdom. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
All right. God bless you. I just want to mention, I'm actually in the chat, found out how to use that chat, and I was having a conversation with Sister Kevin. I sent you a message, Sister Kevin, in the chat. I don't see anything from you. I don't see the message that you said you were going to send. Just let me know if you see my message in the chat. Again, I don't see yours. So I just wanted to mention that before we move forward. There is a we're learning more about this system that those who are using their computers and tablets to get on, which, you know, she's doing from Bermuda. There's a way to communicate with a chat. So if she wanted to during the sharing and caring time. So anyway, God is good. Let's move forward. Father, bless us as we talk about the lessons from the dramatic trial. Lessons from the dramatic trial. We thank you very much for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, we just had a dramatic trial. Alex Murdoch was convicted murdering his wife and his youngest son. And we're going to talk about a trial much greater than that, though. We're in John chapter 18, and the Bible says in verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. You know, I want to say that Jesus was accustomed to nature. He loved nature, and he spent time in nature. This should tell us that you'll hear God's voice more if you spend time in nature. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. My brothers and sisters, you must understand, we will be betrayed. You can't live your life in fear and making sure that nobody knows where you live and all these kinds of things, because the bottom line, friends, is that it is for the furtherance of the gospel. We're going to see that some of us have to go before judges and lawyers and courts and other prisoners. That's where the gospel gets spread. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Verse 3. And so he came with a band, friends, of people who were going to betray Christ. Friends, we have to understand that if you don't live a simple life of godliness, you're going to be betraying Christ. You're going to either betray him or deny him. And unfortunately, Peter even denied him, but his denial was through fear. It wasn't a permanent denial. In other words, he had a weak moment. But Judas purposed in his heart, I'm going to have my way. And his way was, I'm going to force Jesus to manifest this divinity, and I'm going to get the credit. So I'm going to betray him, so he's forced to do it, because he's surely not going to die on a cross for these people. Sometimes people have what they think a good reason to do wrong. Friends, that's politics. There's never a good reason to do wrong. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? So Jesus went toward them and ask them, whom seek ye? Jesus knew. Friends, the closer we get to God, we are getting so close to a God who knows all things. He knows who's going to arrest you. He knows who's going to attack you. He knows who's going to befriend you. Jesus knows everything. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I want to know the one who knows what's going on. How about you? And when we come close to him, he sometimes even reveals to us what we need to know in order to spread the gospel. Sometimes spreading the gospel means you get to escape. Sometimes spreading the gospel means he wants you to be arrested. Sometimes spreading the gospel means that you have to be alone. Sometimes spreading the gospel means you're going to be with a lot of people. Whatever it takes to get the gospel spread, that's what we want, friends. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. Now, And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You see, at that moment, divinity flashed through humanity. He said the words, I am. I am was spoken in the book of Exodus when Moses said, Lord, I don't know what, when they're going to ask me who you are, what am I supposed to say? Well, the Jews or the children of Israel at that time, they needed to know that God had all power because they were going to come upon all kinds of animals and all kinds of giants and all kinds of warlords and all kinds of problems and all kinds of needs such as water and food in a wilderness desert journey. And they needed a God who was able to do all things. And so God says, just tell him I am. You see, anything you add to I am is limiting. As soon as I say I am Shellum Flemons, then I can't be Don Jacobson, okay, whoever he is. I just can't be anybody else but Shellum Flemons if I'm telling the truth. So Jesus didn't say, and when you look at this verse, friend, the he is added to the text. It wasn't what Jesus originally said. It just said I am. And so when that happened, divinity flashed to humanity because that was that he was the great I am, you see. And they all fell backwards. But he, I believe, did that to help them to understand and bring conviction. You are about to arrest Son of God for nothing. And so they were bent on doing it, though. And it says, as soon as he had said this, I am, they went backward and fell on the ground, verse 7. And he then asked them again, I guess they recovered, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Jesus was compassionate, and he was concerned about the safety of his disciples. And so he said, let them go. I'm the one you want. Watch this, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake. Because what he says comes true. Of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. I'm pretty sure that's in John 17. I'm not sure. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus did not condemn Peter for having a sword. He condemned him for using a sword when it was not time to use a sword. Okay? I want to bring that out. Not that we are here promoting weapons, but I can't say to you as a pastor, if you have a weapon to support your defend your family, that that's wrong. That's the bottom line. That's not a popular saying, brothers and sisters, but it is the truth. Peter had it. Jesus knew he had it. He didn't say, so you can't have it. It's just that this wasn't the time. Jesus, it was part of the gospel. He wasn't just defending against a robber or anything of that nature. Well, it was time for Jesus to pay a sacrifice that would save Peter and save you and save me, my friends. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And so a lot of people have all these views that come from their own, you know, experiences and culture and fear and so on and so forth. You see, I came out of the city and moved to the country a long time ago and found out that everybody in the country had a gun. I was the only one that didn't have a gun in the country. And they were the nicest people, and it was the safest place to live on this in this earth, much safer than the city, my friend. And so, you know, we just have different. We're all subjects of our own experiences, you know, our own environments and our own experiences. And so, we have to make sure that the lesson here is we have to teach only that which the Bible teaches. Okay. So again, we're not promoting that you go out and get a weapon. I'm just simply saying, as a pastor, I have to answer questions. If somebody says they're wrong to have one, I can't show you from the Bible that it's wrong. But it is wrong to use it when it's an issue of religious liberty. You know, it's time for God to share the truth through the latter rain. No. We're not supposed to resist arrest with weapons, friends. That's not correct. Then said Jesus to Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You see, so when you are connected to God, you understand the times. When you understand the times, you understand better how to act and how to use the things God has allowed you to have. And then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So Jesus allowed himself to be bound and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. That's in John chapter 11, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. You see, they say he's got to go. And that's very interesting, because in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the whole purpose of the parable was to teach that if we have the Bible, that's all we need. That's what the parable was all about. And the rich man wanted a big manifestation. He wanted the praise team to rile the crowd and the preacher to get them all emotional. And in other words, the rich man said, if you do something great, like raise somebody from the dead, raise Lazarus from the dead, then my family will believe, because it's something great that's done. Jesus said, no. Or Abraham in the parable said, no. They have Moses and the prophets. Friends, Moses and the prophets wrote the Bible. That's what that means. That's why you'll see Moses and the prophets, the law and the prophets. The only reason why Moses is not considered in that verse a prophet is because he got his inspiration in a different way. The Bible is very clear about that. In Numbers chapter 12, it says that if anyone is a prophet, they'll get a dream or a vision. Moses is not so. He just gets it mouth to mouth. But the Bible makes it very clear, it's in the book of Deuteronomy, that Moses was a prophet, and we know he wrote prophetic things. So in the broad sense, he's a prophet, but he's designated as a separate from the prophet, because he, just like you're hearing my voice, and if you could speak, I could hear your voice. That's how God communicated to Moses, whereas with the prophet, it was primarily through dreams and visions, okay? So it was that designation. But Moses and the prophets wrote the Bible, my friend, and if we don't want to hear the Bible, in that parable, it says, neither would you believe though one rose from the dead. All of this drama that has come into the church and emotionalism that has come into the church, it doesn't make people believers, brothers and sisters, in the truth. It causes people to believe the popular maxims, the popular norms, the popular lies that are often being told. But it doesn't help people to understand what is present truth. That is important for you to understand. And so Jesus stayed with the word, my friend. And it is in that word that Caiaphas in John 11. So when you go to that verse, the reason I bring out John 11 is because Jesus allowed a real Lazarus to be raised to prove that if one rose from the dead, then people won't believe. Because as soon as Lazarus rose from the dead, that's in that same chapter, John 11, that Caiaphas said, hey, one man has to die to save this nation. You see, that's why we'll talk about it later. That's why I'm not a Republican. That's why I'm not a Democrat. Because the Republicans and the Democrats will sacrifice you, both of them, in if it saves their political party. You see, when you serve God and you're part of his kingdom, every soul is precious in God's eyes. And we wouldn't sacrifice someone just because it's popular to do so. Now, we're all going to be persecuted. So God allowed John the Baptist because it was for the glory of God for John the Baptist to lay down his life, just like it was for the glory of God for Christ at that time to lay down his life, just like it was for the glory of God for all the disciples to lay down their lives, except for John the Revelator, and he was exiled to Patmos. It was their sacrifices, my friends, that allowed the gospel to spread, and sometimes that happens. God allows things bad to happen to his people that his work might go forth and prosper. And so, my friends, God is so good. But Peter stood at the door without and went out, and then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews also resort. In secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, which I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. They were trying to trip Jesus up, have him say something they could just take a portion of. And Jesus said, listen, I've been preaching in your churches and your venues for all this time. I've spoken openly. I've not said things in secret. You can ask those who were present what I've taught, and that's how you'll know what I've taught. The bottom line, this was a kangaroo court, friends. This was a trial that broke every rule of court proceedings of their time. You weren't supposed to have court at night. You were not supposed to convict somebody except a certain number of witnesses. They couldn't even get the witnesses. This doesn't give all the detail. They couldn't even get all the witnesses to agree. When you couldn't get the witnesses to agree and you had to bring one in and they didn't know what the others was going to say and their conflicting stories, that automatically was a release of the prisoner. But no, they had it in for out for Jesus. They wanted to take him down. And not only did they take him, they actually helped save the world, because the bottom line, friends, is it was for Jesus to die so that we might have eternal life. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? You see, my brothers and sisters, a lot of people can't show you that you've done wrong or taught wrong, but they'll persecute you. Jesus gave a powerful principle. If I have done evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. That's a lie. Peter was lying. He was one of his disciples, but he was scared. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So there was another occasion where a damsel had asked in one of the other gospels. And so three times, Jesus told them, you're going to deny me three times before you hear the rooster crow. And sure enough, that happened. And when that happened, Desire of Ages says, he looked over at Jesus, and Jesus didn't have a scowling look. He had a look of compassion. He knew that Peter was scared. He knew that Peter was weak. You see, Peter should have been praying and getting strength in the garden, but they were asleep. Friends, we need to wake up, because it's time to pray. It's time to make sure that we have a relationship with God. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, because it was the Passover, of course, but that they might eat the Passover. Now, who was the Passover lamb? Who would die that death might pass over? It was Jesus. I want you to see that when you are into politics, brothers and sisters, you're going to violate principles sooner or later, and you're going to crucify the very Christ. We can crucify him afresh and put him to an open shame, brothers and sisters, even in this day. And so we need to make sure that all of our principles are thus saith the Lord. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusations bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. Jesus therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put away any man to death. But that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? In other words, have I caused problems in your kingdom, or did you just hear that I was this king that would be unlawful, of course, if he was an earthly king, trying to overthrow the Romans, that is. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Now, they couldn't even give an accusation of what Jesus had done. He was innocent. He hadn't even done anything. And so I'm just telling you, every aspect of that trial, my friend, was a sham. It was a kangaroo court. Jesus was crucified because they violated every principle of jurisprudence. That's going to happen again, friends. The First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States will be trampled under, and our religious rights will be taken away because, and the Bible predicts it, so I'm telling you on this day, March the 16th, that they will push for a national and then worldwide Sunday law, my friends. That's what the Bible teaches. The mark of the beast is not a vaccination. That is not the mark. The mark of the beast is Sunday worship. Now, that other thing that I just mentioned, brothers and sisters, will it play a role in end-time events? I believe it will play a role in end-time events, and I believe that we have the First Amendment right to take what to be concerned about what we put in our bodies, and any church that says it's not a religious matter has compromised, rejected the gospel. They've compromised because whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, eating and drinking is what you put in your body, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. My friend, it is now coming out more and more and more. The challenges that people are having, physical challenges, lives being lost because of a certain action that people have taken, my friend. And so I am here to tell you that we need to follow Jesus, and that's what's most important. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, and watch this. This is why I am not a Republican. I am not a Democrat. I don't believe in church politics. I'm not going to get involved in your politics in the church, my friends. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from him." Now watch this. His servants weren't even earthly servants. The angels are his servants, friends. And if this kingdom was of this world, then the angels. There's a song that says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. It was necessary for Jesus to die. That does not excuse the Jews and the Romans for putting him to death. But mainly the Jews hold the greatest amount of guilt. The Romans were just scared because they wanted the popularity of the Jews. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king?" Then Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause that came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." You see, he already said, "My kingdom is not of this world," so you don't have any issue. I'm not trying to overthrow the Romans. But see, they took advantage. When you study the history, there was in Daniel 11, it mentioned a vile one that would come, and he brooked no compromise of his authority. You see, if he even suspected you of trying to overthrow him, a lot of men lost their lives, innocent men, because he was making sure that nobody would try to challenge his authority. And so Pilate was scared of that particular king, and they took advantage of that. So Pilate, when he said he's a king of the Jews, okay, well, they were basically saying, "Well, Pilate, if you don't condemn this man, we're going to tell the emperor." That's basically the concept behind that, when you understand the history. Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Jesus said this. All right, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault at all." Jesus should have been let go. "But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I should release unto you the king of the Jews?" So he said, he's reminding them of their Passover custom, that in their custom somebody's released. And so he's like, "Listen, you just need to go ahead and let him be released." Pilate's trying to release Jesus, but he won't stand up and be a righteous judge. Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. My friends, these are lessons we can learn. We are facing a time period where men in high positions, now we can borrow from the recent trial, that Murdoch family was known to be a powerful family. If they wanted you off, you got off. If they wanted you behind bars, if you were innocent, you were behind bars. That's what the locals say about him. And I know some people personally. I didn't even know they knew them personally. And they vouched for that because one of the persons I talked to said, yeah, I did some stuff, man. And, you know, I knew them personally and they got me off, you know, whatever. And so, my friends, you know, we have politics and people can be powerful families. But let me tell you something. When you live a life that is unprincipled, you're going to get caught sooner or later. It's better to have little and stand for principles, my friend. Even if it costs you your life, it's all right. You get eternal life with Jesus Christ, my friend. May God bless you and keep you as we stay faithful to God. And let's stop being political. Let's go home because the world has to be warned. Jesus is coming. Can't do that without medical missionary work and publishing, and those who are faithful will be a people, brothers and sisters. It will not be a large denomination that will finish this work. It will be individual people. Denominations will go their way, but the people will be faithful. God has a people. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Bless us as we move to our intermission time. And are about to then have our wellness segment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We'll take about an eight-minute intermission. You'll hear the torso song, and then we'll be talking about menopause.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. You're a up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
All right, praise God. Give me a second, friends. I'm actually typing something. That should do it. All right. We're going to be talking about menopause. Of course, this is a issues that women face. God had a time in our lives when we should be having children, and then there's a time in our lives when we should not have children. And when we get to be at an age where most likely we should be grandparents, God does things in our bodies so that we would not continue to birth children and be strong enough to be grandparents, because our children may need some help with their children, right? And so God allows particularly a woman to no longer have the amount of estrogen needed to produce the eggs to flow through the fallopian tubes that come down through the fallopian tubes in order to have a baby, okay? Yeah, so I think I did that right. I was just checking something. So there's a link in the comment to a product, and we'll be showing, talking about that. I had to just check to make sure I had done that correctly. And so, my friends, menopause is where the menses pauses. The monthly period goes away. That's one of the processes, it's because the estrogen levels of the body are lessening. Now, you need estrogen, and you need estrogen for different things. Estrogen helps keep calcium in the bones. Estrogen does other functions that the body needs. And so you don't need all your estrogen gone just because you reach a certain age. We're talking about generally late 40s, early 50s. That's the general time of menopause. And what happens is that because we live such stressful lives in our earlier years, your estrogen primarily comes from your ovaries and your adrenal glands. And when the ovaries can no longer produce, the adrenal glands are able to continue to give you a balanced amount of estrogen, not enough to have a baby, but enough for the basic functions of life. And you have another organ called the hypothalamus in the brain, and it helps to stimulate the production of estrogen. But the hypothalamus is also your temperature thermostat, or temperature gauge, or thermostat, let's just call it a thermostat. And it also helps control body temperature. And so one of the symptoms of menopause is hot flashes, and that's because when the body senses that there's not enough estrogen, it's the hypothalamus that has to be stimulated, and because when it stimulates, it raises body temperature. That's why you end up with a hot flash, but it just senses, hey, I need a little more estrogen. So it's really trying to stimulate the ovaries to give me a little bit more, and that's why you have that temporary flash of heat. If we lived more, less stressful lives, friend, and don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Just be content with what we have. Don't get into debt. Don't try to, have the most challenging career path so that you can rise to as high as you want to rise. And I'm not saying that God doesn't have people in high places, women included. The point I'm making simply is that if that can happen without you sacrificing your health, praise God. But if you have to sacrifice your health to get there, no, you should not do that. There's so much stress in our lives, in females' lives and males' lives, but in this case, we're talking about females, that once you get to that age, your adrenal glands are shot. And so when the ovaries aren't producing enough estrogen, their adrenals can't keep up, and you end up with a lot of problems in menopause, emotional roller coasters and being moody and hot flashes and so on and so forth, osteoporosis in some. And so there are some things you can do about it. You can take things that have natural estrogens, drink more carrot juice, follow the 8 laws of health. If it's non-GMO, you can have tofu. It has plant estrogens. We also have a product that I put a link in. It's called the Estrogen Menopause Relief, Estrogen Menopause Relief. You should check that out, my friend. It will help you. And I'm going to give you the ingredients in the Estrogen Menopause Relief Herbal Extract. It contains black cohosh, don quai, licorice, evening primrose, schizandra, berry, chaste berry, rosemary, ashwagandha, wild yam, red clover, damiana, uva ursi, peppermint, and it's kosher vegetable glycerin and water, purified water. So I highly recommend that. It will help you both with your adrenals, and it'll help you with your menopause symptoms. And let's put stress to rest. You can find rest in stress. You don't have to worry. You just give everything over to the Lord, my friend. God will protect you, and God will take care of you, and we just need to rest. I hope that is a blessing. I'm going to go back to the phone lines and see praise God, amen. So we've got a way to communicate with those who are on iPads and computers who listen. Praise the Lord. All right, friends. We have representation on Facebook from South Carolina, from North Carolina, and we have, and Brother Peyton from North Carolina says, happy Thursday to us all. And we have someone of whom I am not sure. We have somebody that I'm not sure of his or her, maybe her location. We have a brother from Pennsylvania. We have Virginia on the line as well. That's Facebook. On the call, free conference call, we have Delaware. We have Alabama. We have Ohio, we have Iowa, we have Oklahoma, we got two in Oklahoma, praise God. We've got Georgia, we've got Ohio, and our dear sister in Bermuda. So if you want to, we have a hello from our dear sister Salita on Facebook. God bless you. Want to share anything, just type in your comments on Facebook or on the call. And if you're listening electronically, just type in the chat. And also, if you want to share, just press *6. And we've got Sister Odessa on the line. We'll go ahead and take her call, and I'll be watching the chat, and also I'll be watching Facebook. All right, we're going to go to Sister Odessa. Good morning, Sister Odessa.
Good morning, Pastor, and everyone on the line. Praise the Lord this morning. It's a blessing to hear the message this morning. Thank you so much. My question is, you were talking on menopause. My question, well, not really a question. I never had hot flashes. I mean, I know I'm on up there in age, but I got friends that, you know, in 30 seconds, they just stretch wet. And so I was listening to some of the ingredients in the products that you were taking, that we was taking. But I've asked people, you know, I never had hot flashes. I mean, I've gotten cold, you know, I have cold feet or cold hands, but I never had hot flashes. So maybe that's a blessing. I don't know. I know we all are different. Our bodies are different, but just explain that, why some people don't have hot flashes and some do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people had more stress in their younger lives trying to reach high levels of achievement, or it could have just been a bad relationship, you know, that caused so much stress in their lives. But then as we get to menopausal age, they don't generally have enough estrogen coming out of the adrenal gland. So if we live a more simple life in our younger years, we tend to have enough estrogen in our adrenal glands left over, and we should not have hot flashes. You really shouldn't have to have those things. Now, if you have them, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. We all learn this health message at some point in our lives, and we're still learning, right? So, but you can take some things like the ingredients. Some of those ingredients, some people might have recognized, have natural estrogen, plant estrogens in them, and some of them were stimulating to the adrenal gland, and so that's why we have that formula. But I am so happy, sister, since you live in Oklahoma, I'm happy you did not have hot flashes, because it gets hot down there.
But I didn't live in Oklahoma all my life, though. you know, I was saying that I was raised in the country, but I noticed coming up, we ate a lot of candy yams. We ate a lot of collard greens, and we ate a lot of healthy vegetables. So maybe that's a blessing.
And also, it might just be because you grew up in the country, too. That takes lessens your stress level.
I just want to have a shout-out to two of my best friends. One is on the line from Oklahoma, and one is on the line from Iowa. And I just want them to know I love them so dearly and thank them so much for coming on the line.
Amen. And we want to shout-out after you. We love them, too. We don't even know them, but we love them. And when I say we love you, people say, well, how can you love me if you don't know me? It's because the Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So God puts love from the Holy Ghost into the heart of his people for all people. So, dear one, thank you for joining us. God bless you. All right.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Desiree. Thank you. We're going to go to Sister Desiree at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good morning, and good morning, Sister Maria. I was enjoying that. That was funny. I wanted to say that it just hit me. You said we can find rest in stress, and you meant the literal word. I never thought about that until you said it.
Well,
I was like,
you know,
wait a minute.
You are very perceptive.
That thing knocked me over. I said, no, he didn't. He said, find rest. You can find rest and stress. I said, you know, your brain starts calculating. I said, wait a minute. I never thought about that. Because in school, they give you words. When I was in school, and you find so many words out of that one word. And that's what the Holy Spirit had me do that. I know myself simple to everybody else, but I'm telling you, that thing knocked me over. I said, wait a minute, you can find rest and stress. Wait a minute, you really can find rest and stress.
That's right.
I also wanted to say that, some weeks ago, it came to me, actually probably over a month ago or so or whatever. The saying came to me, return to the garden. Return to the garden. Then I said, well, Lord, do you mean like returning to the garden, like we're on our way, or just return? And I said, which way you want me to say it? Return to the garden. And then as you were speaking, it hit me like, wow, we were just taking for granted that going to the garden, when he was telling them to pray, he knew it was coming. So if they had, as they were in the garden, had they prayed, they would have been more prepared. Was that what you were saying for what was coming? Had they been praying as they should instead of sleeping? Had they not been physically sleeping, they would have been prepared for him. And that's like metaphoric in the sense that we're sleeping, physically and spiritually, not been sleeping. We'd be more prepared for what's to come.
That's right. Beautifully said. Beautifully said, sister. Thank you for sharing that. And flesh and blood has not revealed that unto thee. That was very perceptive. That is true. And many people didn't catch that. So, yes, the word, it is symbolic. And it's literal. You can find rest in stress. You can have, you know, stress in your body, but you can say, I rest in Jesus, and not let it overwhelm you. But you take the word, stress, and my friends, as my sister found out, you can find the word rest in stress. So it's a beautiful symbol, and that's what we need. God's not going to take away all of our stress, but we can find rest in it, in the stress. And that means we're not going to be stressed out. Is that it will be a call to prayer. Every stressful situation is a call to prayer.
Yes.
All right, anything else?
I just want to quickly say I have a matter going on in my family. I'm asking for sincere prayer for one of my sons. He needs serious prayer. I don't know what's going to happen concerning this matter. And I just know that, like, Peter, like Christ said to Peter, that the devil's trying to snuff him out. I know this about this particular son. I know the devil wants everyone, but I know he has greatness. I said, Lord, you didn't give him that name for anything. You gave him that name. It was me that just followed your guidance in giving him the name. But I asked for sincere prayer for him and someone else that I admired as an elder. They're not of the, they're independent, and I just found out they're in rehab, so I'm asking for sincere prayer for these two people, please.
Okay, and that's your son and the elder, right?
Yes, my middle, yes, my middle son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, gotcha. Thank you, sister. We have from Bermuda a chat message. It says, from Sister Kevin, good morning, everyone. I send greetings from Bermuda. Though it is not sunny, the sun is still shining in our hearts here. Mom is doing well and making progress every day. Thank you for your prayers. And I believe that she let us know her mother is either 102, 102, or about to be 102. Maybe she can clarify that for us. That's such a blessing. She's got 10 years on my mother. Mom is 92 and is stable. She's been, you know, somewhat declining, but she's stable, and we're thankful for that. To God be the glory. God knows our lifespan and how long we're supposed to be in this life, and it's a beautiful thing. If we lose a loved one around this time of our existence, it won't be long. Jesus is coming very soon, so that's a piece of comfort. To those, as many lives have been lost recently due to the pandemic and other things as to how the pandemic was treated, it's not going to be long if our loved ones are in Christ. All right, we got Sister Desiree back on the line. We'll take her call at this time. And by the way, before we do, she will be 102 in November, God willing. Thank you, Sister. All right, Sister Desiree, good morning again.
Yes, I'm sorry. And I'm also asking for prayer for my mother who's in the nursing home also, please.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, praise God. I know my wife's on the call. I'm not sure if she's available to do our prayer. So if so, she can speak up. If not, I'll have our closing prayer this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the time of fellowship as well. And now, Lord, we ask for your spirit to continue to be with us. We want to lift up to you Sister Desiree's mother, who's in the nursing home. We ask that her care would be protected and that it would be administered through your holy angels. We ask, Lord, that you will give everyone on the line a special blessing today, that you continue to steer us through your Holy Spirit, always helping us, Lord, to stay on the path of righteousness. So us spiritually, mentally, and physically. We pray for traveling mercies for Sister over in Bermuda. I'm not sure when she's going to be returning, but we do ask that you continue to be with her in her visitation with her family. Bless all these efforts in accordance with your perfect will is our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith. God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, it's now time for our closing song, and that is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will.